It's true, the central claim of the Trinity, that God is one in essence but three in persons, is saying simultaneously that God is both one and many. And that's part of the purpose of this language. God, who's the creator of all things, is not a thing in the world, as I've said. Therefore, God cannot be sequestered, defined, compared, or contrasted in the ordinary way. What's one of the basic ways that we understand creation? We use this ancient category of the one and the many. Go back to Aristotle, Plato, Cicero, the ancient philosophers. They use that category to understand being. Some things are one, some things are many. If you're one, you're not many. If you're many, you're not one. It's a contrast. God, who is not something in the world, but the ground and creator of the whole world, cannot be sequestered in such categories, cannot be compared and contrasted in the ordinary way. If I say, well, God is simply one and not many, well, then I'm introducing a sort of limitation to God. I say God is many, but not one. I've also introduced a restriction. So who is God? Somehow, strangely, mysteriously, He's deeper than that distinction. Or He's beyond that distinction. And therefore He includes the perfection of both. And is the Trinity trying to gesture toward that? If you look in our current Pope's book, Introduction to Christianity, he makes just that argument. The Trinity signals that God somehow transcends and includes the perfections of both the one and the many.